Well, now, listeners, after our programme last Friday night, where we were giving you some information about the proposed wind farm in the Knockan Ore area, we were talking, if you remember, to Mr. Cathal Hennessy, Managing Director of RWE Renewables, and he was saying that there are very strict guidelines as regards the amount of sound that the wind turbines can give out. I thought you'd be very interested to hear from our first special guest this evening. He's Mr. John Bennett, and as part of his career, he was Director of Engineering with Benbro Electronics in Australia, where they did a lot of research on sound and its effects on the human body. So I'd like to welcome, firstly, John to the programme. Good evening, John.
Good evening, Tommy, and thanks for having me on the show.
John, you've had a very interesting career so far. Maybe you'd just like to outline for our listeners the career you've had, particularly, I think, when you went to Australia.
Oh, yeah, sure. So when I first left school at 15, I joined the Royal Air Force. I was an aircraft fitter specialising in aircraft weapons. I moved to Australia in the early 70s and worked as a sound system engineer for a few years. Later, I was the director of engineering of Benbro Electronics. That was a Sydney-based company. We designed and manufactured commercial electronic equipment for mining and telecommunications, rail, law enforcement, military applications. And our products included sound equipment, solar equipment, underground communication systems, and commercial electronic equipment.
And you were telling me that you did a very interesting experiment or series of experiments at the behest of the Australian Navy.
Yeah, so I thought it might be interesting for you, listeners. I'd like to share with you my knowledge and experience regarding the phenomenon of infrasound and why it poses such a risk to residents living downwind of arrays of large turbines, like such as the 17 that are proposed for Knockan Ore.
So, John, I suppose we better just clue in people. People can imagine various machinery, large and small, give out sound waves that we can hear, but that's not the end of the story. Sure, it's not for large machines.
Absolutely not. So sound, so if it's all right with you, if I can describe sound to start with, it's just a vibration, and that vibration causes pressure waves in the air, so the air's moving. And those vibrations can be heard by the human ear. The human ear can hear from about 20 hertz to 20,000 hertz. Infrasound is exactly the same thing. It's a vibration that causes pressure waves in the air, but they can't be heard by the human ear. This is the human ear. It's lower than 20 hertz. It's not a theory. It's a known physical phenomenon, just like sound is. The only difference is that your ear can't detect it. Infrasound occurs naturally in the environment, in the form of wind, thunder, crashing waves, earthquakes, and can be produced mechanically by large industrial equipment. But, Tommy, there seems to be a misconception that if you can't hear it, it can't cause harm. Well, nothing is further from the truth. And I can tell you where my knowledge has come from where I've learned this. About 25 years ago, my company won a project for the Royal Australian Navy to design and manufacture a sound projection system. It was a small but very loud portable sound system. The equipment was mounted on the ship's railing, and it was used to issue orders to other vessels, normally small vessels suspected of criminal activity, illegal immigrants, or terrorist activity. Now, the equipment was capable of delivering very large noise, sound pressure levels of 80 dB. At a range of 1 kilometre. So at 1 kilometre, that's similar level as the PA system of a football stadium, or similar to the noise of a freight train going past. So to do this, we need to produce a very large sound pressure level. So what we had to produce was about the same level as a jet engine. It's dangerous to human hearing, and it was a threshold of pain. And we produced 120 units, and they are carried on every Royal Australian ship. But shortly after we delivered the units, we successfully designed and produced them. But after we delivered them, the Navy approached me to carry out research to consider the viability of converting those units into a non-lethal weapon.
A non-lethal weapon, yes.
A non-lethal weapon, and with a view to using them to control or temporarily disable aggressors or rioters or their enemy, really. So in order for me to be able to do that, they gave me access to classified military information and to research documents that had been carried out on behalf of defence organisations. Now, since 1999, this is so serious that since 1999, there's been a global ban by international treaty on this research, either military or civilian. But the results of my research revealed that infrasound could have a profound effect on body organs, and that different frequencies of infrasound that are projected at the body can affect different body organs or can interfere with the functions of some of your senses. If the frequency of the infrasound coincides with the frequency of that particular body organ, for example, your heart, which most people say beats around 60 times a minute, that is equivalent to a frequency of 1 hertz. Respiration is a frequency of around 12 hertz. The eye function, it has a frequency that it darts at. It's a frequency of about 18 hertz. These are very, very low frequencies. You can't hear these frequencies. The resonant frequency of the brain is around 10 to 15. And research has shown that frequencies of infrasound around 4 to 16 hertz can have an effect on the vestibular system. That's within the inner ear. And that organ controls the balance and orientation. And this potentially causes tinnitus, nausea, dizziness, you know, those things associated with seasickness, loss of balance, vertigo. Infrasound frequencies around 18 hertz can affect the ocular system, potentially causing blurred vision and oscillating eyeball. They call it nystagmus. Higher intensities of infrasound are known to cause confusion, anxiety, mood change, depression, and fear, and in some cases, an elevated heart rate. And report after report that I read showed that these effects are real and that under laboratory conditions can be replicated. There's also multiple civilian research papers that can be cited that confirm these findings. Of course, defence agencies sought to capitalise on the effects in attempt to temporarily disable the aggressors by projecting these frequencies at them. So you might wonder what that's got to do with wind turbines.
Yes.
What do you think the likelihood that they will produce infrasound at high enough levels to affect human organs? And I would say very, very high. So we were working with our little 60-watt amplifier, and we could produce sound pressure levels so loud that they were capable of causing permanent hearing damage. The wind turbines have a combined power of 60 million watts. We had 60 watts. They have got 60 million watts. That's around 3.5 million watts each turbine. They have massive blades, and those blades spin with a tip speed, of over 180 kilometers an hour. The blades themselves, if you laid them on the ground, the blades on the ground would encompass an area of 6.3 acres, large enough to cause pressure waves in the air at very low frequencies. Let's face it, this is an industrial power plant. They're very, very close to residential properties. In fact, there are hundreds of residences within this industrial installation. It surrounds them, actually. And in addition to that, I believe it's probable that at unpredictable times, the combined infrasound of multiple turbines, all rotating at very slightly different speeds, will converge or coincidentally focus on downwind properties when the wind is blowing in a particular direction. And I believe that the likely effect of people living nearby will be random, unpredictable episodes of interference with the middle ear, causing dizziness and nausea, interference with other body organs, causing episodes of confusion, anxiety, blurred vision, and perhaps even heart palpitations. A major issue with infrasound is that infrasound cannot be heard. So people with these symptoms may not associate their illness with the turbine.
Yes.
But look, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that this will happen to everyone or all of the time. But with this large number of turbines all interacting in concert with each other, and that's the important issue, they act in concert with each other, and they're all facing very similar directions as the wind blows, and all rotating at slightly different speeds, and all arranged in a horseshoe pattern. So close to residences, it's hard to see how they will not cause issues of some sort. The big problem is that once they're there, it'll be impossible to change anything.
I was going to say to you, John, my special guest is John Bennett, who has done a lot of work in the area of sound and engineering, particularly in Australia with the Australian Navy. When we had Mr. Kyle Hennessy of RWE Renewables on last week, he said that a very detailed specification had been drawn up by the government and the various departments, and that particularly the noise levels were to be very strictly controlled. And he mentioned, if I have my notes correct, a decibel level of 35 to 45 decibels, quieter than a fridge, and that, again, that these wind turbines would be 700 metres away from the homes and would be, as I said, monitored, and if there was any breach, they would have to comply with the regulations of the government. In other words, what he was saying was very highly specification on what they can and can't give out, John.
Correct, yeah. Yeah, that's very true. One of the problems I have, and without getting very technical about it, there is a wind energy development guidelines for most countries and this country as well. And the problem is that any reputable acoustic engineer would look at those guidelines and laugh. The way that they measure infrasound, for example, doesn't even cover the whole range of infrasound. So when you measure sound, the sound measurements that are being used are really designed for audible sound, and because what they were developed for was to look at what may cause annoyance from what you can hear.
Yes, so this would be sound in the audible range, you're saying, are being targeted. And these special sounds that you are mentioning and have done research on, the sub-frequency sounds, they are below a certain number of decibels. Am I reading you right there?
They're below 20 hertz, you can't hear it. And there is even a special scale that they measure infrasound on. But that drops down and won't measure anything below 8 hertz. Now, if you remember when I went back, there are frequencies in your body and your brain and your respiration and your heart rate that are between 1 and 4 hertz. Those figures are not measured. So they keep coming back to what if you can't hear it, we don't worry about it too much. And we don't measure it properly. There is another issue as well, and that is that this guideline, I've looked at a report, and it's 103 pages, Tommy, and it is what the company, Energy or whatever they're called now, I can't remember.
RWE Renewables.
That's right, yeah, that they use to claim that turbines don't cause any health effects. What these engineers have done, they've gone to a group of turbines, so a big installation, and they've gone to measure the infrasound with what is, I would say, an inappropriate scale, but they've gone there to measure them. And so in order to measure them, they've turned all of the turbines off except the one they're measuring. Now, the problem is that infrasound itself is caused by the combination of multiple arrays working in concert. So, you know, unless you've got them all running, you're going to miss a lot. The other problem is that the focusing of this sound from multiple arrays, coincidentally focusing on a particular resident, is dependent on many conditions like air pressure, wind direction, temperature, all of those things. And when they've gone and done these measurements, Tommy, they've only measured them under very, very, very narrow conditions, like a temperature difference of 2 degrees, air pressure difference of 3 hectopascals. And they've only measured them for the maximum one that they did. They measured about 10 wind farms. The maximum time that they measured them for was 3 hours on one turbine. Well, I mean, if the wind direction wasn't right at the time, then they wouldn't see that infrasound, even if they were measuring it correctly.
And can I ask you yourself, John, have you done any direct studies on wind turbines in Ireland yourself?
No, what I have done, I've looked at the history of them, and I've looked at the challenges to them, court settlements and court orders that have been made, damages that have been awarded. And I've also looked at many complaints that people have. I mean, it must be very evident by now from many existing installations of multiple wind turbine arrays that small numbers of residents in almost every development complain of tinnitus, vertigo, dizziness, motion sickness, bird vision, anxiety, depression, elevated heart rate, all unknown effects of infrasound. And it seems that these reports are being ignored. Now, he mentioned that there is a follow-up. Well, what about those people? They just seem to be discounted. I mean, I liken the situation now, that we're in now, to the situation we saw with tobacco and asbestos. So at first, they were harming people, but it was out of ignorance of the fact. They didn't know. But like now, facts emerged showing that their products did cause harm, but they ignore those reports like they are doing now. They were harming people, and they were harming them at that time in the face of knowledge. And I believe that this is the case now. Worryingly, the response from the manufacturer is the same. And their response is there is no empirical evidence of wind turbines causing harm to human health.
Yeah, I was going to just say that, John, that when Mr. Cathal-Hensey was on with us last week, he said that they have done environmental impact assessments in line with government guidelines. And he said that there is no evidence that there are any ill effects of wind turbines on human health. And it's not just him. He said it's the Irish Department of Health he was quoting and the World Health Organization. And he said there are significant data and studies all around the world to show that wind farms do not have a negative effect on health. Mr. Cathal-Hensey.
Well, let me quote an excerpt from the very study that they used to claim that. And in that, on page 91 of this 103-page report, it says, laboratory tests on the impact of infrasound have shown that high intensities above the perception threshold are tiring and have an adverse effect on concentration and can influence performance. The best proven reaction by the body is increasing fatigue after several hours of exposure. The balance system can also be affected. Some test persons had feelings of insecurity and anxiety, while others displayed a reduced respiratory rate. Furthermore, as is the case with audible sound, very high intensities can lead to a temporary hearing impediment, an effect often known by people who go to nightclubs. They do go on to say long-term exposure to strong infrasound can also lead to permanent hearing loss. However, the infrasound levels that occur in the vicinity of wind power plants will hardly be able to cause any such effects.
Sorry, John, in case anybody's listening, what report are you quoting from there, just in case anybody wants to look it up?
I'll give you that report at the end of the interview, if that's all right.
Okay, yeah, just so that if people want to look it up. But in general, was it an Irish report, just to be clear, or a report elsewhere?
A German
report, okay. Well, you could argue, or the company could argue, well, we are following all the guidelines, legal guidelines, and we are actually exceeding the guidelines in some cases for the betterment of the health of the people here. And Mr. Hennessy said to me last week that they're very conscious of the health of the people, of their employees, and they're doing everything they can to ensure that this wind farm project will be as safe and as healthy as possible. John?
Yeah, and it's called the Baden-Württemberg Report, Baden-Württemberg.
Okay.
Baden-Württemberg Report, and that's what he's using to make those claims.
And how recent is that report, John? Is it an old report, or when? What?
It's a recent report.
Okay. Fine. So what you're suggesting is that there, just to put it in a nutshell, John, is that beside the sound, which has to be controlled, obviously, there are other effects from these very large machines, not just in wind farms, incidentally, but from any large machine that people should be aware of.
Yes.
And
that's right.
How far actually, John? Just to recap, how far are from a large machine like a wind turbine or a large mechanical machine in a factory? How far away would they go in your experience?
Well, this is Emeritus Professor Colin Hansen's from the Waterloo Wind Development in South Australia, the man after my own heart, has confirmed from acoustic evidence that residents living as far out as 8.7 kilometres from the nearest wind turbine were subjected to excessive levels of low-frequency noise sufficient to disturb sleep. And further to that, the UN Committee Against Torture defines sleep deprivation as torture.
Yes.
So this isn't to be dismissed, as it appears to be. The Superior Court of Massachusetts ordered that turbines be immediately shut down overnight in order to prevent irreversible harm to physical and psychological health.
Okay.
There was actually a €225,000 settlement. It was as far back as 2016, so these aren't new, and that was in knocked up in County Cork.
Okay, so there was a court case in County Cork.
The Supreme Court of Portugal ordered the removal of turbines and awarded €30,000 as settlement. So these are not isolated cases.
Okay, so you're asking people just to be aware of these, and again. Can I say that all these reports from the company itself can be looked up on their website, lyre.com. Listeners, lyrewindfarm.com. My special guest has been Mr. John Bennett, and an expert in, as you see, various aspects of sound, and has done extensive research on the matter, particularly for the Australian Navy. John, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you, Tommy.
And we appreciate your time. Thank you very much indeed.
Thanks, Tommy.